This is our 10th symposia, and so congratulations. We've made it to almost a year. I'm kind of surprised. And I just want you to know we're always upping the ante. You're gonna have a four-course chef-driven, wine-paired, family-style meal. You're going to listen to guitar, hear a guitar, make a guitar, and go home with a guitar, right? Right? Isn't that the program? So you all go home with a guitar tonight, well, at least in your head. So Tim is our presenter. I just want to talk a little bit about the food. I'm going to go back and do the fish. Do you have any questions, first of all? This is one of our longest prepared meals in the preparation, and it's a bit of a failure. I'll just put it out there from the get-go. Back in May, one of my favorite beans in the world is the red scarlet runner beans, and I was given 400 seeds, and I shared it with three different sources, one being professionally grown, another a professor at the university. And the deers apparently developed a taste for the red scarlet runner beans of the 300 that I planted at the garden farms, of which has provided a lot of food, and we'll go through that later. So those beans disappeared. I planted 100 in my garden May 26, and I have 6 pods. Long story short, the red runner beans did not come about, but my fallback was the fava bean, which is a very Greek thing, and they grow here. And Catherine, thank goodness, she goes with me to the farmer's market. She knows that I've been looking for them for the last 2 months, and no fava beans. So we went back to Minnesota-grown green beans and lamb brisket. So that will be at the end of your meal. But that's the long story short is we did give a theme to this meal, and it was Minnesota Bounty Bound. As of today, it is Midwest Bounty Bound because, as I found out, Rush River, where Zorn's bought, was fishing for us yesterday for the trout, is in Wisconsin, and I, you know, didn't know that. Additionally, the blueberries, I couldn't find them at the farmer's market from Bayfield, which is northern Minnesota, this one I know, so we got them from Michigan, and our feta that appears in a meal is also from Wisconsin. So we kind of expanded and said a Midwest table. But I have worked very hard. The onions, the garlic, the parsley, everything is Minnesota raised. I think it's fun in Minnesota to enjoy a meal that is just very, very local and produced by good people on our state or neighboring states. So we had the eggplant, which we call black and white eggplant, or tzakistes. Tzakistes means hashed, basically. And again, Catherine, I'm glad you were here because the eggplant were white, and I mean cotton white. When I was on the island of Santorini, I noticed something in the fields. It was all white, and I'm like, I asked them, like, what is that? Is that you growing cotton over there? Because Greeks do produce cotton. And they said, no, that's white eggplant. And they grow little round white eggplant, which is very indigenous to that island. But I had this beautiful white eggplant. But as soon as they got into the heat, they turned purple and then black. And you can't tell. So each plate, actually, because I on the grill, I put white, black, purple, white, purple. Each one has a white and each one has a purple. So I don't know if the taste difference. They seem pretty similar when I was peeling them. But in any case, that's what that was, and I had this dish on the island of Thassos this year, which is where my sister lives. That's in northern Greece, and George prepared that for me. And then these stuffed banana peppers were from Noreen's stall. We bought them at the farmer's market, and we stuffed them with that Wisconsin feta, and a little bit of garden farm sage, and we roasted, the fire roasted them, or fire finished them. And then the kolokithopita is the Hopi, red Hopi squash. It's about this big. We got that from the garden farm again, that they provided that for us. And we mashed that with a little feta and more sage, and we put that with black sesame seed, and that was your beginning course. We're going to go on to the next course, which is a mix of mustard greens and garlic, and that's sauteed in 100% extra virgin olive oil, which of course is not from the Midwest, we'll just put it out there. And neither is the wine, as long as we're being honest. Okay, and then the little trout. Now, Zorn didn't, you know, it's 1 week shy of the end of the fishing season. So he was only able to bring us two Rush River fish. But we supplemented from Sunnyvale Fish Farms organic free-range little trout. So there'll be enough trout for everyone to have a taste. And the thing was that Zorn's came with eggs, so we put those on. That's a little special treat. So that will be course two. And now I'm going to introduce Tim, who just apparently slid away. But Tim has been an enthusiast follower of the Gardens of Salonika, and he recommended that I'm glad you're back. I'm going to introduce you. He asked me if he could do a presentation, and I'm going to turn it over to him because he has been diligently doing beautiful work, beautiful song, beautiful musical compositions. Tim, take it away.
As Anna mentioned, my name is Tim Hall. I'm a native of California. I've been living in the Twin Cities for basically since 1995. I've been a guitar player since I was 15 years old. And I've been becoming a guitar player since I was 15 years old. It doesn't happen overnight. And through my associations in the Twin Cities with other musicians, I kept hearing about this school in Red Wing. If you're a guitar player, a stringed instrument aficionado, there's a beautiful, beautiful place in St. Paul. It's called Willie's American Guitars. And they have, you know, you walk in there, if you've got any kind of desire or interest in music, it's like every piece of candy you could imagine hanging on the wall there. And so I had some work done on a couple of my guitars there, and they came out great. Like, wow, this guitar's never played so good, ever. And they told me, oh, yeah, our man Woody worked on your guitars, and I was like, where did he learn how to do this stuff? And he says, Red Wing. So I kept hearing about this school in Red Wing, and finally decided to check it out for myself. So the school is actually known as Minnesota State College Southeast Technical School. Or if you ask the locals, it's called the Bowtick, over at the Bowtick. So since 1974, they've operated a guitar building and repair program there. Over the years, they've really refined the program to its current state where that I'm a graduate of. I enrolled in this program a year and a half ago, and it's a 9-month long program. It's pretty intense. It's 5 days a week, and I was enrolled for 23 credits. 12 credits is considered full-time, so it's an enormous load of work. And honestly, there's no other way that they could have done it, because it's even in that 1 year, with, you know, my mind just came out of it numb with all the information that they had packed into it. About this topic that I thought I was a genius about. I know everything about guitars. And it took me about 5 minutes in there to figure out that, yeah, you know what they look like, you know how to tune one, but there's a whole, like, deep, deep layer of things that you take for granted. You pick it up and you tune it and you play it and you never imagine that all this other stuff goes into it. But they do a really nice job of filling you in on all the little intricacies that, like I said, that we take for granted. I felt like since I was a musician and knew quite a, you know, I was pretty comfortable holding a guitar, and I'd also done a fair amount of woodworking in my past, I felt like I had a leg up on the program. And in the end, that's really, you know, what bolstered my decision to go ahead and pursue this. They really take you from the very beginning. If you'll let me sidetrack a little bit, the table over here next to the fountain, there's some of the accoutrement of right up by the lovely podcasting folks. What you'll see up there is a blueprint for the electric guitar that's here on my left. That was entirely hand-drawn. You'll see a saw, it's called a razor saw. And there's some finger planes and a block plane, and those are some of the really important hand tools that we do our work with. Although we've got, the school has quite a nicely equipped shop, really every convenience you could hope for. You can accomplish these kind of results with hand tools for the most part, you know, by and large. The original builders in the 1800s, they didn't have a great shop full of, you know, precision milled tools, lathes, joiners, planers. They didn't have all that stuff. They had to figure out how to do this stuff by hand. And as much as possible, the school tries to to teach you that, to impart that kind of ability into you. The woods that you get are, they're milled specifically for guitar building. There's a certain way to cut wood that's important that gives it better strength and better tonal output. So they're specialized woods for that, but they come in rough. You might have to saw a piece in half to make it work, but there's definitely a very raw kind of look to the materials when they show up. Somebody early on, when I started the school, they said, so are you putting kits together? And at that point, I was already totally bogged down with the work. And I said, yeah, here's my kit. And I showed them this picture of a pile of boards that, like, it doesn't, nothing about that pile of boards said guitar on it, you know. If I can grab this baby for a bit of demonstration. So each little detail on the guitar, you know, one, just look at a small area, and there's something going on there that you need to learn how to do. And they don't teach you how to do everything all at once. One of the first things they teach you how to do is carve a nut and a saddle. Those are the surfaces that the string, the vibrating length of the string is supported by. And they actually, because they're made out of bone and it's a very dense material, it adds resonance and it adds sustain that wouldn't be there if you were using a softer material. So instead of having you work on real guitars, they'll have you, they call it a mock-up, where it's a piece of the guitar, but maybe it's just a 6-inch portion of the neck. And there's a little slot there that you have to evaluate is the word I'm looking for. And then you've got to fit this piece of bone in there so it fits tightly, snug but not too snug. And you've got to cut the slots for the strings so that they ride on the proper area of the fretboard. And so they kind of give you all these little tests of different areas on the guitar, creating a bridge, creating a saddle, fitting a dovetail joint. I know all this stuff just sounds like a lot of words right now, but when we start the slideshow, you'll see some exact demonstrations, photographs of the work as I accomplished it in the class.
Okay, so this is the second course, and I just popped in because I neglected to talk about the Kidonitsa wine, which is a wine we discovered on our June tour down in Vatistas Monomvasia. That's the like a third leg of the Peloponnesos. And we fell in love with this wine. It's a varietal that they have reintroduced and restarting introduced to cultivation. And it's an excellent single varietal berry. And we fell in love with it, of all the 7 varieties we tested. And they sent us away with 1 case of this wine and a few of our other favorites. And we just kind of hauled wine all through Greece and met each other on the patio at night and drank and enjoyed life. So Kidonitsa is a wine I hope you enjoy with this fish trout. I will tell you one other thing. The lighter yellow one is the Rush River trout that Zoran caught. See if you think you can find the difference. It was butterflied beautifully for us by Coastal Seafoods. And then Zoran just kind of cleaned his fish for us, so we weren't able to pull the bones out. So the one with the bones is Zoran's fish. Okay? All right, so enjoy. The mustard greens are traditionally eaten. Fish is traditionally in Greece eaten with bitter greens. Probably because the succulent sweet meat of the fish pairs very nicely. So enjoy. I hope you've enjoyed the orektika, the appetizers, the deftero piatto, the second plates, which stands in the place of salads for us. We're going now to the kirio piatto, that's the main dish. And we're going to start with the turkey and tahine yogurt sauce. It's yogurt mustard tahini sauce. Okay, now this turkey is from our Southeast Food Network, and it's literally turkey breast and turkey thighs on the rotisserie. I've had people ask me because I served some over to 2 tables and they were hysterical about it. And they said, how did you make it like that? Question. You can get a takeout if you ask specially. Yes, you can. Tonight, you can have anything you want. So it's turkey sliced on the gyro machine. That's the traditional way. And if you're going to tell me that turkey's not Greek, well, it is a recent immigrant to Greece. That's a good thing. In 1974, there was a massive earthquake in the Ionian Sea, and it destroyed all the vineyards of Kefalonia, which is also known as Kerkira. That's Corfu. Of Kefalonia, which was a great grape producer. And so in the interim, while their grapes, because it takes about 5 to 7 years, were growing to production again, they imported the turkey. And I only know about this because when I order their wine, it's Hazoyani. I said, why is there a turkey on the neck of your bottle? And then they told me this story. And the turkeys, they put the turkey on their wine bottle because in thanks of the turkey holding them over economically until the grapes are reestablished. So, and now turkey has made its way to a traditional holiday table fare. So we brought it to you, and it's a very American thing, but this is Greek style, so I hope you enjoy it. And in Thessaloniki, as my son said, there's a famous little, which is a student town, famous little Yeradiko, which sells the pork gyro, chicken gyro, turkey gyro, and pheasant gyro. So that might be the next thing, but so anyways, and then the next thing will be our disappointment dish for the night, the one that I started back in May and still didn't get to come fruition, but they are Minnesota beans. They're fresh, and my husband bought them from the Wedge Co-op today because I was still hoping to get fava as of last night, and I called all my sources and there's no fava, no runner beans, nothing to be had. So he ran and paid premium prices. Go ahead and put that on that. So please try this yogurt. That's Minnesota yogurt with mustard and tahini and a little bit of turmeric in it. So try that with that. And we need little forks, sweetie, on that. And then we'll come up with the lamb and green beans. And please, the feta's for the lamb and green beans, put a little bit. You'll love the flavor contrast, all right? And I'm going to be quiet now. We're going to turn off the lights when Tim lets us know he's ready for that, okay? Yeah, so the food will come out, dish up. Okay, dish it up.
So this is the classroom that we started out in. All those guitars that are hanging on the back wall there, they're all numbered. And basically, once you start learning how to set things up, how to make adjustments to make a guitar play well, those are the guitars we work on. And I mentioned earlier that there was two different classes that kind of run concurrently. One of them focuses on the electric guitar builds, and one of them focuses on the needs of the acoustic guitars. This is the blog that I started writing basically as soon as I got to school. So this is one of the first things that we started learning here. This is a picture of a fretboard mock-up. The frets are really what lets you play an individual note on a guitar. Thank you, that's great. So you have to learn, if a guitar doesn't have a good fret job, it is it's an arduous process to play a guitar with bad frets. My instructor in this course, Brian Bodenheimer, went through the class, and Brian's a perfectionist of the highest order. And I feel lucky to have had him teach me how to do frets because I can walk into a music store now and pick up a Martin guitar or take your pick of the famous builders, and I can find flaws in a $1,200 or a $1,500 or a $2,000 guitar. I can see flaws in the work, and it's a little bit weird, but on the other hand, it gives me a lot of pride in the quality of work that we're able to produce graduating that school. So that picture right there is, it's called the volute. A volute is kind of a mass of material on the back of a guitar neck. It's right behind the most fragile area. That big white mass that you see in front of you is called the nut, and that guides the strings and all the channels. Every guitar maker, every guitar company has a specific way that they shape those things, and it's kind of like fingerprint. Folks So there's a lot more going on in this blog. It tells the whole story of what it's like to live in Red Wing and to try and take this on and make make learning this craft a part of your life. The blog is hosted by Blogspot. So the address is www.timbuildsguitars.blogspot.com. I'm gonna play a little guitar for you. I'll describe the guitars that I'm gonna play, and then I'll play a couple ditties on them for you. This guitar is modeled after a Martin single aught. That's a style that they make. Overall, there's it's either 10 or 11 different kinds of wood in this guitar. And one of my favorite parts about it is on the inside, there's a little bit of wood called kerfing, and that helps support the top. And the kerfing on this guitar is made of Spanish cedar. So if you smell the inside of this guitar, it will smell like cedar forever, and it's kind of nice. So it's a couple of original compositions for you here.
Thank you very much. That last little medley was a number from Heart, and then a bit called Tears in the Rain by Joe Satriani.
I'm just going to thank you all for coming and introduce Zoran, who just came. He's our fisherman, let's give him a hand. For those of you who may not have been here, he's also our resident artist, so he is responsible for doing all the art. Yes, the fountains, the wood, including the bar railing. And he will also be next month's symposia guest presenter. So he was celebrating and you know, maybe resting his fly fishing arm, I don't know. But we're happy to have him join us. And if you have any questions, you talk to Zoran. His studio is down at the end of the Mississippi River end of 13th Avenue, right between the Grain Belt Brewery. I'll talk just a little bit about the milopita, which we made. We could also call it American flag pie, you know, that works too, because it had those Michigan blueberries and Wisconsin craisins and Cortland apples. And the ice cream that we paired with it, I made today, and that was red peppercorn and cardamom ice cream. So I hope you enjoyed it, because I just created that for this event, and I really enjoyed it. The wine was Cleone. It's a semi-sweet, and I thought it would be very nice with the apple and the cinnamon, the cardamom. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay? Thank you. And as always, I want to thank our podcasters. Our podcasters by courtesy, they are podcasting this entire event that you'll be able to listen to again and find out what the food is, what the tools were, what the name of the guitar was. So thank you very much to Edie and Paul.